All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are assembled around the round table, and we have Javier Perez with us from, tell me, where?
Spain, yes. Sabadell, very close to Barcelona, Spain. Yeah.
All right, and I should know Barcelona because of what? Largest city? Second largest?
Second largest city in Spain.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I look at Spain, where are you at? As I look at Spain on the map, where are you?
It's in the northeast. It's the region where we are is Catalonia. It's very close to France, Mediterranean Sea. And Barcelona is, as you say, the second city, important city in Spain.
Okay, yep. And then your city is?
Sabadell. It's 30 kilometers to the north. It's very close, just in 20 minutes, it depends the day.
Okay. Have you lived there your whole life?
I live in Barcelona my whole life, since I started pastoring the church in Sabadell almost five years ago. I live my entire life in Barcelona, right in the center, in the middle of the city of Barcelona. Very noisy and crazy place.
All right, you said the church. What church?
What's
the name of it?
Oh, the church. The name of our church is Iglesia Bíblica Evangélica de Sabadell. It's Biblical Evangelical Church from Sabadell.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
In the center.
Yeah. Is it Baptistic?
Yeah, we are Baptist church, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And you've been there how long?
Well, since the very beginning, probably. Well, the church was first planted in another small town, but very quickly they need more space. And then in just 1 year, approximately, they moved to Sabadell, where we are now. And this is when we and my family, we arrived.
How did you find the church?
Well, the church, I knew from the church from the very beginning. I have contact with the pastor who planted the church in 2016. And we have a good relationship with him. And we start to visit and support the church from the very, very beginning. And then we had a very good relationship with the pastor, the family, and the membership. And then in the end, they have some needs. They needed support. And we decided to move to Sabadell and stay there, helping and working in the working.
Now, what were you doing for a living? How were you feeding your family before you became a pastor?
In administration. This is my profession.
Mm-hmm.
Administration.
Mm-hmm.
Different tasks, different areas, and different kind of enterprises and business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were born in Spain?
Yeah, yeah, in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife.
How long have you been married?
21 years.
Okay, your wife's name?
Sylvia.
And they're joining us, Mike. We anticipate that they're going to jump in here in a minute.
Yes.
To join us.
Yeah.
And we have been supporting you for
4 years, probably. Yeah, from 2018. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have other supporting churches?
Yeah, all from, well, not all, most of them from here, from the United States. There's a church in Georgia, another in New Jersey, another one in New York, and now, a church has started to support us in Venice, Italy. It's a ministry they call the Serenissima, and they are supporting us as well. Yeah.
How is the church doing?
Well, we are a very small church. We are starting in many things because we have suffered, as everyone around the world, the pandemic. So we are 5 years old, but probably we are three because we were very, very freeze along the time of the pandemic. So we have communion. We try to have meetings by Zoom, the internet, different ways. But it's a small church, so we are working. We are working in, especially in the spiritual life of the membership first, before to go beyond with different ministries. Now, in the last year, we start to grow in that sense. We are giving a little bit more of a structure to the church, but very little by little, because we have to do it with the right people, the people with enough commitment with the ministry, with the things they are doing. So we go very slow, but...
Javier, when you say small, you're saying that in relative size to us here at Berean.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, because in the United States, a normative size church is 90 to 100 people. So you're having between 60 to 70, 75 on Sunday morning.
Yeah, the attendance, yes. The
now,
attendance.
You only have 37, I think you said, members officially, but you know, each Sunday, you know, you're having a much bigger crowd.
Yeah.
And then about your Sunday school for adults, you started that only a year ago, and you had, like, in the teens attending. And then already now, just 1 year into Sunday school, do you say you...
Approximately between, we are 20, 25 people attending, 27, it depends.
So it's growing.
Yeah, it's growing. It's growing little by little. That's why our first aim, our purpose is to work in the heart of the congregation. Not to have a lot of things in the beginning, but to work in the ground that is the heart of the membership. And we are seeing in God's providence the results. We are growing in commitment. This is the most important thing for us, to go beyond.
You were telling me the other day about some of the men that you're growing and grooming and discipling. You don't have to say their names, but can you describe, you know, how they're doing that? How is that helping the church?
Yeah, they. One of them came from Brazil for work. He's working in Sabadell, in the same city, in an informatics place. And he started to attend for almost 4 years, 4 years ago. And... His name is Claudio, and he's very committed with the church, with the teaching, with the preaching as well. He's a very good preacher. He learned Spanish from Portuguese very quickly, very quickly. He's well talented in that sense. So he started to help with the young people, the youngsters. Then he started to teach in the Sunday school, adults Sunday school, and then he started to preach. That's the process. And he start to, well, the Lord start to put in his heart the passion for serve others, for the ministry. And the other brother is called Jordi, George, in Catalan, Jordi. And Claudio is 34, but Jordi is 60 years old. But it doesn't look like. It looks almost 45. A lot of energy. And a very committed man with the gospel, with the church. He's very hospitalarious. He loves brothers and sisters a lot. He's very interested in the membership. And he's a very good preacher as well. So we start to work. I start to work with them. They can't come to the church just to support in the beginning. But the same, he starts to grow in his desire to serve the church in a deeper way. So this is the people that we have identified, not only me, the rest of the membership, we see as future elders, future pastors. So then I propose to them, I present them as candidates to the membership. Everything was okay about that, and we have started a period with an indefinite period to start discipling him about the ministry, reading books, working together. They're coming to me to some counseling, to some making visitation. Making visitation, and we're starting to start to work with them, and let's see what the Lord will provide.
How is the church doing financially?
Well, we are now okay for the necessary. We had a very difficult time 4 years ago. In the pandemic, the Lord sustained us in miraculous ways. The owner of our facilities, we are renting our facilities, was very kind with us and were very respectful. He's happy having us there. And he
lowered the rent
for the half. for 4 months. That was great for us. And when everything ended, the pandemic, and then everything starts to come back to routine again. So, now we are okay. We are able to pay our needs, our expenses, the facilities, and that's great. We go little by little, but we are better. We are better than 4 years ago or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are happy for that. We need to grow in that sense, but who knows in the future what happens. For us, it's great to finish the month with a superavit. How is the word?
Surplus.
Surplus. For us, we are experiencing that in the last 6 months. It's not too much, but it's a surplus, and then for us, it's a party every month. We are very thankful.
We feel the same way.
Yeah.
Same thing here. All churches feel the same way. Yeah. Mike, I think sometimes we think that we're, so different, but in reality, we're not, are we?
No, there's so many similarities all around the world. It's very funny sometimes to talk to pastors, whether it's in a different area of the United States or a different country. So many of the things, the way the people interact, are almost identical.
Yep, same challenges, same victories, same things to get excited about. You know, the idea that you have men in your church that you're preparing to serve as elders and deacons is incredibly exciting. The fact that you have more than 50 is incredibly exciting. So we've got the ladies joining us.
Yes.
And I wish you could see their faces. You would think that they're scared or something. Nothing to be scared about. We're just talking. We're just having a conversation around the mic.
Okay.
Yep, that's all we're doing. So tell the audience who just joined us.
My wife, Sylvia.
Of 21 years, we learned.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
And Claudia, our daughter.
How old?
Almost 18, 17 years old.
Oh, an adult.
18,
yeah.
She'll be a senior in high school this year from the United States grading system. It's a little different.
What's the difference? Tell me the difference.
In Spain, it's like 4 years of high school and 2 years of bachelor. It's different.
So like the 11th grade and 12th grade for us is what she's calling the bachelor.
Yeah.
So high school would be up until 10th grade, and then the bachelor, 2 years, and then she'll go university.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure you're going to the university?
Yes, I'm sure.
Everyone goes?
Who knows? The other girl is Julia.
I'm 16 years old.
And what do you want to do with your life?
I want to do the music career. And
like your dad, rock star, right?
Not exactly. More professional.
What instrument?
The piano.
Oh, very good. Are you playing Sunday?
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, she's in charge of the worship. Well, I'm the worship pastor.
Yeah.
I'm the pastor of everything now. But she's very, very responsible. Playing piano every Sunday. Sometimes I go with her with the guitar, but she plays very well.
Now, what are you guys doing Sunday at Brian? What are you doing for us?
In Brian.
We're going to play guitar
and
piano.
Yeah.
And we're going to
sing. Yeah.
What song?
Behold Our God.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
His mercy is more. And
O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Yeah.
And we're doing all in Spanish?
A mixed.
It's a surprise.
50-50.
Jonathan is preparing a surprise.
Yeah.
We're going to be charismatic Sunday morning, huh?
Little bit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you two meet?
You first.
we met in Jehovah's Witness group, young group. And he was 17, but I was 21. So we were just
young guy. Wow.
So we were just friends for many years. And then I moved to England to stay with my sister because my sister lives there. And it, when I came back to Spain, we met again. And I was 30 and you were 25. So we decided to start a relationship and we married the day, the year after that.
12 months later.
Yeah.
Right. And you guys have a great story about God preserving you in the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing the fact that it was a cult and leaving it. That is an amazing story. It really speaks, Javier, to God's providence.
Yeah.
That he was drawing you to himself.
Yeah.
In spite of your resistance.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a long process inside this cult, this organization. I started to realize about a lot of things that were not biblical. But they taught me to don't doubt about anything, because you are doubting about God himself. So psychologically this is very strong, but by my personal study of the Bible, the same Jehovah's Witnesses translation, a New World Translation, I realized about a lot of things.
So you're saying that even within their own scripture, their doctrine wasn't lining up with their own Bible.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't even looking at another Bible. You were just using their Bible.
Absolutely.
And showing the problems that were there.
Obviously, they have changed some passages.
Yes.
Anyway, you can go to the gospel. You can go to the divinity of Christ. You can go to
a lot of things.
It's there. You can do it. So this is how it worked in me. The Lord was working in me.
Now, was the Lord working in you at the same time?
Yeah, not as Javier with doctrine things, but I was feeling a lot of pressure of things to do. It's you have to do this, you have to preach, you have to work, you don't have to complain, and I was very tired.
Sure.
And I thought, God might not want this kind of life for me. Even I felt that I was never going to reach him, because I didn't make enough works for him to look at me.
The burden was so heavy.
It was so heavy that I started to realize that God was not in there. Mm. God was real, but God was not in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to doubt also about some prophecies, some beliefs that they changed during the years. So it made me... 5 years ago you say that, and now it's another thing. So I've tried to have
battles. You're losing your confidence, you're questioning what's going on.
Exactly.
God's working in both your hearts at the same time.
Yeah.
You walk away from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and now you're just out there living a secular life. Is that
Yeah.
We teach them to the girls.
When do the girls come along? How when is this process?
2-3 years all they were.
Yeah.
But we were teaching the Bible at home. We were preaching. We didn't attend again praying with them, sorry.
Yeah.
And teach them Bible stories. They know about God. They know about God's people. But we didn't attend.
But no local church?
No.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. What year is this? Girls, what years were you all born?
2006.
And then 2004?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're married what year?
2001.
So you get a few years without them.
Yeah.
Good years, really good years, right?
Really good years.
And then they come along.
Yeah.
It
was not my decision.
They improve everything.
Oh, yes.
Right. When in Spain, when do they leave? Like, is it 18, or when do you kick them out? Like, you gotta go. No,
they don't leave. Oof. Because life is so expensive that even with 40 years old, you stay at home with your parents if you're not married.
How old?
40, 30.
13.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's too much.
40, it's too much.
But 14,
but
too much, but 13.
25, 30 people stay.
You don't marry as
25, 30
for marry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. I try my best to.
That's why we want to move here. So we can live earlier.
Oh,
earlier. Are we going to cut this?
No, we're not cutting it. No, this is all in the recording.
Yeah, we're not cutting anything. She wants to edit. She knows about editing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the cultural differences then. So you go to university from the home, and your peers will be living at home with their parents as well, mm-hmm. until some gentleman says, "Will you marry me, huh?"
Yeah.
But you don't even, yeah, look at the face. She's like not even thinking about that. So 25 years old, huh?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. What is, well, yeah.
Wow.
You can live alone, but it's not normal because your father so and your mother can feed you for free. So you
like live at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
You live at home. Yeah, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when do you think each of you were saved? When were you born again? Do you have any idea when you can narrow it down a little bit? When you think, because you're, it sounds like you're teaching Bible to your children, and you might not even be born again.
No. We were not born again.
We
knew the gospel after.
We were Christians intellectually, emotionally. We feel like that.
Yeah.
We believe in God. We believe in the Bible was the word of God. We believe in Christ. But it was a conviction, not something that was guided and comes from the Holy Spirit. So probably, I don't know. I don't know exactly the day.
Oh, of course not.
The sermon, the right words. I remember the time.
Okay.
The season. Mm-hmm. I remember the season. It was incredible to me. And I really felt that something totally different I never experienced in me happened. So, yeah.
Now, did it happen in the context of a church service or private Bible study?
No,
or
no. When
home?
I started to attend to a brethren, Plymouth Brethren. A church very close where we move. Then I started to attend there, just first for curiosity. Now I know that was God leading me there. This is the first place that I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first time I heard the gospel.
The death, the burial, the resurrection for your sin.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the first time I start to feel conviction of sin, to understand the holiness of God, to understand the ransom and the substitutory sacrifice of Jesus Christ for me, for my sins.
That's not part of Jehovah's Witness doctrine.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, this is you have got to do all these things to please God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Salvation by works.
Sure.
So it's the first time that I heard the word grace. So, yeah, this is the, it was not a very profound doctrinal church, but they preached the gospel.
Okay.
It was enough.
So right. Is that like 2010, 2011, 2012?
2009. Yeah. Okay. 9, then 10. I tried to resist when I started to feel conviction of sin. I tried to resist, but you can't resist in the end. So the Lord beat me hard and put me on my knees finally. With all the conviction.
Now, are you watching this from the outside?
I'm watching this from the outside. I'm very scared because as a Jehovah's Witness, you are doctrine that this was the truth. Mm-hmm. So when we left, but what they call, you are not activist Jehovah's Witness, but you are still a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, once a Jehovah's Witness, always a Jehovah's Witness.
Always a Jehovah's Witness. Although you commit sin and they disfellowship you.
Right.
So when I saw that he was attending this church, I was a little bit scared because I thought, we're coming out of a religion and then you're going to another religion.
Right.
I don't want that.
For one cult to another cult.
And I said, I don't know if I'm going to follow you. But he says, my responsibility as the leader of the house is take the girls with me to the church. So if you want, do you want to come to the church, that's okay. You can stay here Sunday morning cleaning and cooking, but I go with that.
He didn't really say cleaning, did he?
Yeah, because I love cleaning.
No, she really loves cleaning.
It's her passion.
She really loves.
So. Really. Okay, let's clean.
Because I work from Monday to Friday, so my Saturday, Sunday was cleaning, shopping, and everything. But when I start to see the changes in his life, that was you are going to cancel all the concerts that you have and you're going to stay with me to do the shopping and to take care of the daughters this weekend? Strange. I thought something's happening that never happened before. So one day I said, I'm going to go to the church with you. And then I attend the church and the Lord was attracting me to him because I was all the service crying. I heard the prayers from brothers and sisters and I said, they are praying to God and they are explaining their personal feelings. How can they? And I was crying the whole service.
Right. Now, you mentioned something just a minute ago about canceling concerts.
Yes.
Right. You don't want to talk about this. I know you feel like it's a part of your life that you don't.
Yeah.
But it speaks to the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be minimizing this.
Yeah.
We're living in a day and age in which people think God's dead and that the gospel no longer has the power to convert. You're a 35-year-old male at this time, 38. How old are you when you're working through this journey when you're going to Plymouth?
34, 35,
yeah. Yeah, right. 35-year-olds don't come to Christ anymore, Mike. That's our thought. If we don't get them at 5 years old, there's no hope to get them at 35.
Especially once they're in a rock and roll band.
Right.
Especially.
Yeah.
Right. And
can't be.
Last time Javier was here, we went on YouTube and we watched you. You know, you
jamming.
You've got the hair and everything. You know.
We might need to put a link in.
Javier doesn't want that. But this was, you were kind of living this dualistic life because you're praying, you're teaching the Bible to your children, and then you're fully immersed into secular rock and roll.
Yeah. Not in the...
Not in the drugs, not in the sex.
But rock and roll.
But the music.
But the music and the environment.
Right.
In many ways, I changed one religion for another. Rock and roll is a kind of religion, a way of life, a way of thinking. But for me, was something that I took like the way to express myself, maybe to show
you get this job Monday through Friday, rebellion. And then you can kind of get out and let your hair down and have this new life, right?
Yes. Yep.
But now you've got evangelical Christianity crashing into these two things, aren't they?
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to go beyond with rock and roll. Maybe it could be a way of life to earn money, to sustain my family. We record to this, to LPs. We start to sound very strong in the radios, on TV, making a lot of concerts. And suddenly came Christ and changed absolutely everything. I was the composer, I was the singer, the main guitar player. And everything changed in a few days. Start to realize.
So somewhere's there's when you got born again. Somewhere along there. You can't pinpoint the day. We don't know the week.
Yeah.
But somewhere along there,
there
was a transformation that was no longer moral. It was now spiritual.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit was living inside
of
you.
Absolutely. Then I started, I don't want this kind of life anymore. Nobody tried to pursue me, persuade me. Even in the church, they were very tolerant with that. I had any pressure from the elders.
From the outside. Nobody was telling you, you've got to give that up. This is all the Lord's work.
Suddenly I feel like a fish out of the water.
So
I'm out of my element, what I'm doing here.
And you're watching this. You probably have not been yet born again, but you're watching this.
And he cut his hair. He stopped wearing the earrings. He started to read the Bible, to study the Bible again, to spend time with us, because every week, because he also worked.
Right.
So every weekend he had concerts, so I have to stay along with the two kids. Yeah. So I saw this transformation, and it impacted me.
Right, and you're thinking it has something to do with this church, and so you've got to go see what's happening at this church.
Because they enjoy very much the church, and they were talking about how good and great they feel there. And I said, well, and Javier told me, you have to come, they are normal people.
Normal.
because in Spain, if you say evangelist, evangelical, you associate with charismatic church.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit afraid.
Sure.
And they were normal people.
Yeah.
Right.
Non-charismatic.
Non-charismatic.
Right. And so how long were you part of Plymouth Brethren? A year? 2 years?
A year and a half. And then we moved to the...
Almost two years.
Yeah. And again, Scripture's guiding you, right? You're reading the Bible for yourself. You're studying it. And then you see some differences that you can't put together.
I started to study in a biblical institute. And that it opened me the opportunity, give me the opportunity to read, to study.
So are you still going to work full-time during this time, and then you're studying in the institute?
At night.
Yeah, at night.
And so the rock and roll star is now a student of the Bible at an institute.
At night.
Wow. Yes. This is your husband.
This is my husband.
Right.
Yeah. I was converted a little bit late, I think.
Yeah, maybe
one year later. But I was also very scared because I knew that something was happening into my heart, and I was going to lose my family and my friends.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was a difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're choosing Christ over everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it stopped talking to me because I like for them I apostate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like fighting with the fighting with this idea that I want to be baptized, but at the same time I was scared because
baptism is really a kind of like the last straw. Now
I want to be baptized,
right?
Because I am born again.
Mm-hmm.
So and this test came to my mind every time that if you don't lose father or mother because of me, you are not. I don't know.
Yeah, but you got it right.
Yeah,
you got it right.
So one day I say, okay, I'm going to leave this organization and my family and friends, I'm going to lose them. But I follow Christ.
The Lord will provide.
Yeah, Mike, that's surrender.
Yes, that is definitely surrender. A picture of it right there.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of everything, whether it's for Christ as Savior or every day Christ as Lord.
And another thing happened to me because I was called like a moral girl. I didn't go out with boys. I didn't smoke. I had like a moral life.
Yep.
And I felt I was a good girl. But when the gospel came to my heart, I felt so horrible. I said, I'm an hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
I felt like I was a sinner and I deserve the hell. And then that Jesus saved me from this situation. I never felt this before in my life.
Wow. Good stuff.
Because I was like a girl that was going to these meetings, to the Kingdom Hall every week, so I thought it was having
good.
A good life.
Good.
Yeah. But I was not converted.
Right. Yeah. So, Javier, how long is the schooling at nighttime? 2 years, 3 years?
Three years. Yeah, and then we decide, because I share my readings with Sylvia. We start to look for healthy gospel center preachings, YouTube, on the internet. And finally, we realized that we were reformed.
Yeah,
at least in the beginning, in
yeah, you probably weren't
we
using
didn't
that
call
word.
It to reform.
No. Sure,
we have these convictions. We start to grow and grow and grow in these convictions.
And after
we talked with the elders in the church, Plymouth Church, and they were very kind in that sense. They say, okay, so then we are not reformed. So maybe you need to find somewhere, and we found it. It was hard because there are not too much healthy churches.
And is that the church that our missionary is at? Is that the church you found, or was there something in between?
This was the church where the Newtons were.
Yeah, right.
Before planting
exactly.
the church, this was the same church.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And so you go from Plymouth Brethren, and now you're in a Baptist
Reformed
church.
Baptist church.
Reformed Baptist church.
Exactly.
And how long are you a member there before... Scott leaves.
5 years.
5 years.
Almost 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Did you preach any during those 5 years, or were you teaching?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I was very involved in teaching the young people. teaching in adult Sunday school, preaching in the church, and preaching in other churches, fellow churches.
Mm-hmm.
Newton's Church, for instance, one
right.
of them.
Right.
The church planting, and start to work with the pastors in different areas of ministry. In the beginning, I don't have a passion for pastoral ministry, just to teach, to serve, to help. But little by little, start to grow in me this desire. But just working on it. And I realized that the Lord was calling me to ministry. Yeah.
Did you see this? Did you see that the Lord was calling your husband?
Yeah, sure. And he explained me what happened to him. Because I noticed it.
Right.
Nobody has to tell me. It was not of a sudden to say, I have this calling. I noticed that he has this gift to teach people, to share the gospel, to preach. And we have a Bible study now home because he wanted to start a group in the south of Barcelona. So we started in our home. So we study the Bible with a group of Christians and invite people every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice time.
Mm, yeah.
But I could see he has this call.
And you're still working as an administrator during this time?
Yeah. Until we move to Sabadell.
Right. Sabadell is the city 300,000 outside of Barcelona.
Yep.
And this is where the church plant is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
At this time, Mike Brand's supporting this church plant. We've sent people from our church to your church.
Yep.
You met them?
Yes.
During that time?
Yes.
And then everything explodes.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And the opportunity now comes available. The church needs a pastor. And you've been called to preach. So talk to me about how that happened. Did the members call you, or did you volunteer? Or
no. In the beginning, the former pastor talked to the whole assembly and proposed me for a future pastor.
Right.
And the church say, okay, as a candidate. And everything exploded in this period.
Right.
Yeah. But I was ordained one month before everything exploded.
Okay, tell me about that ordination. Who did it?
Scott, the pastor, and pastors of different churches.
Okay.
That we have fellowship. They attend. We have a special service of ordination. And
did you have an examination? Did they have a time of questioning you?
Yeah, exactly.
And defending the faith and answering questions.
Right. Before the service, I spent the whole morning with them, and it was pretty nice. So I have a nice
memories
of this day.
Yeah,
nothing makes me suspect about what is going to happen in the church. But anyway, it was a very nice day. Very emotional in many ways. I have a very good relation with the rest of the pastors who attend to the ordination.
Mm-hmm.
They put their hands on me, and this is how everything started in March of 2018. March of 2018. And at the end of April of 2018, everything fell down.
Yeah.
Scott's life.
Yeah.
But it was something that didn't happen suddenly.
Right, yes. Things were happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But obviously God was calling you to be there ready to make that transition.
Yeah, in one moment I thought, because I see the was a kind of cataclysm inside the church, a big shock for the membership, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord bring me here to close this church in a very decent way. this is my task.
Here, just to wrap it up and
to do it okay. And let's see what happens.
Right now, finances in the church are not good. There's no money.
No money.
Yeah.
Right.
You left your job.
I left my job. Yeah, because the church was giving me part of my salary
right.
from the offerings, and the other part from the missionary
giving from the Scott from had Scott. From all
exactly.
the states.
Exactly.
And Scott was a good fundraiser. He had a lot of money coming in.
Exactly. And then it was my whole the whole amount of my former job. And then say, okay, that's okay. And everything was very clear. I tried to be very responsible on that. I don't wanted to rush on it. But everything was very clear, very well presented to me. The church was involved and committed with that, also Scott. And then along approximately 2 months, 2-3 months, things were okay in that sense. Even when Scott came here to the States, he's still doing...
There was some support still happening.
Still supporting and everything, yeah. Was especially in August was the drama.
Yeah.
When he told me...
It's not coming it's back.
Over.
It's all over. You're on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he told me you wanted to pastor a church.
Here you go.
Pastor
you
it.
Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not like this, please.
Yeah.
And well, the Lord supplied the rest because we realize, like other moments in our life, that the Lord was supporting us, caring of us. Guiding everything in a very incredible way.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times we didn't have to do nothing at all, and the Lord provide and keep providing, and that's very encouraging.
I just want to thank you guys for doing this podcast with us, because I'm not wrapping it up, but I just want to pause, because we read about books, Mike, where God used to do this with missionaries.
Yes.
And we forget that God is still doing this with missionaries.
Yes.
That God is alive and well and still more than capable of getting this church through what should have collapsed it. It should have ended. But Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it.
Yeah.
This is a testimony to the providence and sovereignty of God. Because in any other situation, when a missionary who's built a work goes away from it, walks away from it, most of the time it collapses, right? But God was setting you up for this thing. Aaron Bashore got involved.
Yeah.
We got involved because we put a lot of effort into your church from the States. We didn't want to see all this effort go just for naught. We believed that there was a need for an evangelical church in your town. Just because one missionary leaves doesn't change the need for an evangelical church. We had been paying attention to Scott's letters that had pictures of you and setting you up as a potential candidate, because he was supposed to go then and plant another church somewhere,
yeah.
And then you were going to carry on this church. That
exactly.
was what was supposed to happen.
Exactly.
Right. That's normally good stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, you just got thrown into this to a church that was in chaos and was broke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And emotionally.
Emotionally has been hard.
Yeah.
But spiritually has been powerful.
Powerful.
Yes. Because you see the power of God not only in church life, in your own heart. Most of the things that I did, Sylvia did, not only me, the rest of the membership in the church, we were involved in this together. It should be impossible without God's help.
Mm-hmm. So this is the end of 18, August, September.
Yeah.
Then we roll into 19. You're still a novice pastor. We're still trying to get the church back on its feet. And then here comes COVID.
Yeah.
Just...
Another challenge.
Right.
Another challenge.
Right.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Another adventure.
Right. You would have thought that if that didn't put the church under, then certainly COVID would have put the church under. You know, just done. Because Europe went into lockdowns even more than the States.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I remember you telling me about people weren't making money, offerings were just non-existent almost, you couldn't meet.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys did that for almost 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Right. How did you feed your family? Finances must have really been tight.
really tight. Well, I have my job.
Yeah.
That's the way I support his ministry as well, because life in Spain is expensive, because we...
Yeah, they don't ever leave the house, 25 and 30 years old, and they're still in the house because it's so expensive.
And then with your salary coming from...
From here, from other churches.
Yeah, church in New York, church in New Jersey. I think Aaron supported you guys for a little while.
It was 1 year.
Yeah, that he made a 1 year commitment.
Yeah, my salary went down 10%.
Because of the pandemic?
Because of the pandemic, because the numbers that were not good, so they reduced all the salaries.
Yeah.
So that's how we manage, but the Lord always provide.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, the girls don't look like they starved.
No.
And in many ways, because in the first time was probably around the world like a shock. Everybody was shocked. What are we going to do? How are we going to work?
Mm-hmm.
But little by little, the church started to realize that we need to be in contact. And I made my efforts on that, but even the rest of the membership tried to be in contact by Zoom, WhatsApp, email, as soon as possible. It was possible to go out to the streets, to meet in some places, to have a little bit of contact, real contact, as soon as it was possible. So, yeah, we the first 2 weeks we were thinking about, because, well, maybe it would last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so then it's like a small holidays.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
Not at all. So then we say, okay, so we have to do something. And we start to make Sunday meetings by Zoom. In the beginning, I recorded the sermons Saturday. And then I send it to YouTube. And then we start to do it by Zoom, alive.
Live.
Yeah. And then until May, 15th of May, that we start to gather.
To meet again.
Yeah, to meet again, yeah.
And this is of 21.
And then, no, 2020.
Okay. 2020. And then you had a time meeting, and then the pandemic hit again, right?
Yeah
exactly.
And you had another lockdown period.
Yeah, but we keep... Yeah.
A lockdown? We had another lockdown?
Two. Yeah, but it was too short. It was... Maybe
a month,
2 weeks,
a month.
3 weeks,
okay,
approximately. Yeah,
yeah, because you know, Aaron was in Germany,
yeah,
and I was emailing with Aaron, tracking the same thing along there, and they started meeting again with limitations,
and then we'll have to
and
stop,
then they slammed right back into another lockdown,
exactly,
right,
yeah.
Then you guys came out of that one.
Yeah,
and do you remember your first Sunday back? Do you remember what that looked like? Do you?
Yeah,
in the church.
I remember
we were,
very well.
We were crying.
Yeah, because I thought, well, maybe we'll be alone. And no, everybody, we have restrictions.
Here
it was possible to have only in the beginning 30 people, because
30.
our capacity.
The size of your square feet.
Yeah, it's 100 inside the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And we only were allowed to have the 30%. We were 30, and the rest of the church, especially family with children, older brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters,
mm-hmm.
they connected by Zoom.
Okay.
Live.
So you got some in the service, and everyone else is watching.
Exactly.
On live.
Yeah. And then we grow 40%, then 50%, and then we were almost the whole church. Then 75%, and the land. But when we were 75%, we were the whole church.
Sure, okay.
So that was great as well.
Yeah.
And it gives a good testimony as well to the neighborhood, to the people.
Yeah, they're
very
back
respectful
to meeting there, yeah.
And very respectful about
following the laws.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you meet on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Do you have any other meetings during the week? Do you do anything?
Yeah.
What else do you do?
Yeah, we have study, Bible study, and prayers meeting. Prayer meeting. Now we have changed. We are not doing Bible study. We are revisiting the
reviewing
the sermon of the last Sunday, and making all together. We talk about the sermon, about how it affects them, the applications, the difficult parts of the text, what they don't really understand.
Mm-hmm. So it's still Bible study. It's just not a different passage.
Exactly. Yeah. It's using the same passage of the sermon.
More discussion back and forth, questions, answers, more and then the application more.
Right. And it works very well. And we are growing as well in prayers meeting, because in the beginning it was a very, very small meeting. Maybe we were 3-4. Sometimes 6. Well, we'll keep doing, and finally now we are
20, 25
sometimes.
Yeah.
It's growing as well. It's Wednesday night.
Thursday night.
Yeah. How are the church's finances now? Decent? We have money in the bank?
It's decent for pay our prior needs. The rent, the expenses. And, well, we're starting to have a surplus, as I say, and starting to get to getting better, little by little. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're happy for that as well.
So a little bit ago, you had talked about you were more reformed in your theology, so reformed versus free will. But I know through our talking that you have a balance and a belief in sovereignty of God and responsibility of man. Mm-hmm. So just for a moment, why don't you give us a little. Like, where are you, sovereignty of God, responsibility of man?
Theological question.
Yeah, well, I thought at least one before we will close.
I don't have enough vocabulary for that. Theological vocabulary. I tried my best. Well, the Bible is clear in both sides, in my opinion. It's clear about that God is sovereign, God is king, everything is under his control. He is the ruler of everything. He has decreed all things from eternity. And I believe in that because the Bible teaches. But in the other hand, we see that the Bible also demands for us a response, an answer to his kingdom, to his will, to his holiness, to his commandments, and to his son, Jesus Christ. So we can divorce that, because we saw it in the Bible. How it fits, how it connects, what weights more than the other. In one way, I should think that weights more God's sovereignty. Evidently, he's God. But at the same time, constantly, he demands an answer for us. So probably we don't have to be very picky in that sense, or very curious, because the Bible at the same time is clear in that, in both senses. So maybe, as Spurgeon said, both things are real, both things are biblical. Maybe it's like the train rail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tracks.
The tracks, that they are separated, but in the horizon,
the horizon,
they touch. Maybe in eternity we really understand how this is possible. Maybe, well, not maybe, probably, we understand how it fits. Now we have to live with both things very clear. God is sovereign, and this is a source of peace, of confidence, and joy. At the same time, we need to live with this responsibility, because at the same time, responsibility gives us dignity and gives us as well the sense of, I don't find the word in English, well, never mind. Give us this dignity that we are his creatures, and we have to respond what he commands. So this is in a very, I hope, simple way.
Yeah.
Always see the point.
Well, we heard so much about how God has worked through you, but we didn't hear anything about your theological position. And we know you believe in the Bible, but I just thought the listeners or church members would just like to hear a little bit about that.
Okay.
That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here. You're going down to Georgia next.
Yep.
To spend time with another supporting church.
Yes.
And then back to work, right? And yeah, vacation's
exactly.
over and back to work.
Very
back
quickly. To work. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If we were to come see you, if we wanted to come be part of you again, what kind of things could we do? I know we did some building last time. Do you have ideas for us? Anything that comes to the top of your mind as to is there an opportunity for members of the church to come and visit and and serve?
Yeah, so...
Do you do any like vacation Bible school or outreaches or anything like that?
We're starting now with Children Bible School, probably in October, at the end of September, beginning of October. So this is one of the things that could be great to make some activity for children.
Right.
Yeah. Even not in the church, maybe in the outside.
Okay.
It depends.
Sure.
The season of the year. This is one of a good thing to stay with us in women's ministry as well. If one of the teachers of the women's ministry could stay and help Sylvia and the other sister is working with her, Isabel. Also, we want to start a men's group. Let's see how it can work, and maybe it could be good in the beginning to start with you.
So what I hear you saying is, like, maybe three groups from us, all from Berean. One would focus on doing a children's outreach and ministry.
Yeah.
Some of the ladies, our leadership here, ladies, would kind of do a mini conference for the ladies within your church. And then some of the guys would do a little mini conference for guys.
Yeah, or a barbecue. And now we are working in different things in the church, in the building, in the facilities. But for the moment, I think that for the number of people we are and the situation is okay, we are thinking maybe in the future to put a kind of kitchen furniture in the part we call cafeteria. Yeah? We give coffee and maybe something that we are thinking to do in the future. So it could be a good thing. If you have people who works with wood and they could help,
yeah,
it could be great as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
Can you share it?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly the name. Let me see.
We have it on our website. If they go to our Global Mission Partners, and they'll find the Perez page. And the link is right there on that page. But if you have it, if you want to give it out verbally right now, please do.
He's looking for it right now.
Girls, do you want to add something in while we're waiting for your dad to find the page link?
I wish they could see those faces.
I know. Yeah,
it's so sad that it's a podcast and we could get pictures captured. Did we get an updated picture of you guys yet? Are we doing that on Sunday? Or
we're going to do it right after this podcast. We're going to get a new picture because the last picture, the girls are like 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
Yeah, so we'll get a brand new picture.
All right, what's the website?
Spell it.
Spell it.
She's better than me spelling.
I'm going to spell it. IBESABADELL.ES. And that's Iglesia Baptista Evangelica.
De
Sabadell.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still going to guide people if they go to the Berean website.
And we have a hyperlink there, Mike?
Yes, we have a hyperlink under the Global Mission Partners on the Perez page, and it'll jump them right to it.
Good.
And
we'll get an updated picture.
Yes.
On there as well.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much
for
participating in this podcast. Getting to know you guys. You have a great testimony, and we appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you very much.
On that webpage, and hopefully you can connect with them some more. You're going to be with us all day Sunday, right?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, very good. Thanks.
Thank you.